Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gigax, and today we have, for the first time, a special guest on Classes of Male. It is Mike Brazemley. He is a union steward here in Las Vegas with me, and he's here for a very cool reason, which we will no doubt talk about as time goes on. But as always, I'm going to try to get to the point real quick here and introduce Mike. So Mike, welcome to the Classes of Male Studios, and tell us a little bit about yourself, like how long you've been at the post office.
All right, thank you for inviting me.
Yep.
My name is, I go by Michael Brazemley, as Michael more than anything else. But I've been at the post office since 2012, started as a PSC clerk, and as I am taking the scheme test, that's when the CC program was starting to happen. And the HR ladies down at the plant told me, hey, you know, you should become a CCA because they'll make you a regular a lot faster.
Dude.
And so I did, and I became a regular in 2013. So, you know, it took a year.
Yeah, that's not bad. Okay. That's not bad. When I first started back in 2006, I was a PTF, and it took about 2.5 years to be to make it to full-time regular. But for you, converting from CCA, you just convert to PTF.
Right.
And then how long did it take to make full-time regular?
Well, no. Back then...
There was no PTF.
There's no PTF.
Right.
You went straight to regular.
Right. It's weird now that we have both, actually. Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah. So, but I was the number... I think I was number 3 CCA in Las Vegas, other than the TEs who became the CCAs.
Okay, yeah.
And I was number 3 in all of Las Vegas, which was pretty cool. I was ahead of everybody.
One of the first CCAs.
Yeah.
Dude,
I was one of the first CCAs.
That is not something to hang your hat on. No. How were the hours back then when you were a CCA?
We worked pretty much 6 days a week, 6 hours a day.
6 hours a day.
6 hours a day, 6 days a week back then. That's what they wanted us to work.
That's
no overtime.
Dude.
Okay, but we also took all the overtime away from the regulars, and they were complaining. Taking our overtime away.
Isn't that funny how that changed? Because I went through that too, where the regulars would be mad. And now, dude, a new person comes into the station. It's like, oh, thank God you're here. I can finally get a break.
Right.
Yeah, that has definitely changed.
Yeah, it has definitely changed.
Yeah.
But I did become, when I was at the station.
Yep.
When one of the managers asked me to deliver an express mail, they wanted me to sign it and deliver it.
Oh, dude.
Now, I was in my former military. I'm an Air Force veteran.
Okay.
And I was stationed in Osan Air Base, to McGuire Air Force Base. But anyway, in the military, we know to not duplicate signatures.
Yeah, sure.
Okay? You cannot falsify signatures.
Right.
So I already knew that. So this manager told me to sign it and deliver it. So I already knew that's breaking the law.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And so I told her, I said, you know what? How about you sign it?
Right.
And I'll go deliver it.
There you go. Yeah.
She says, no, I'm not signing it. I'm giving you instructions to go and deliver it.
Dude.
And I told her, you know what? Just give me a letter of warning.
Right.
And I will not deliver something that you're making me sign.
That was back as a CCA.
This is back as a CCA, okay?
Yeah, nice.
But you remember, I was a clerk too, so I already knew how to deal with management.
Sure. Okay?
And so anyway, she goes, fine, I'll have somebody else deliver it. Have another CCA go deliver it, right?
Yeah.
So after I left, load up the vehicle and left out on the street, I called the post inspector because our key had post inspector's number on every key.
Yeah.
Which we don't have anymore.
Well, you know what, though? It is on the back of our badge.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
either way.
Either way, I called that number
to
notify that the manager was trying to have a CCA break the law.
And I'd like
to warn you guys that this might be happening.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got back after the delivery, and she was yelling and screaming, why'd you call the post inspector? I can't believe you did that. I'm like,
dude,
you're the one who's breaking the law.
Yeah.
I didn't want somebody else to get in trouble.
You know,
okay.
I love that. Oh, is there...
Everybody saw what I did. They all wanted me to become a steward.
Yeah, sure. That's the kind of balls you need to be a steward.
As a CCA, I was one of the first ones to become an alternate steward.
Dude, that's awesome. And I love the idea of a CCA being a steward because CCAs need the representation more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who get shit on, taken advantage of. And yeah, that's awesome. So you've been in with the union right from the beginning.
Right from the beginning. Now, here's that's the thing great. Is, I yeah. believe our branch and our national is lacking in supporting CCAs.
Oh, without question.
Okay. And that needs to change, because that's why there's turnaround so much with the CCAs that we got now.
It's bad treatment.
Of bad treatment by our union.
Right.
And
right, the union management. And management. Okay. So when I became a steward and really started doing it intensely not that long ago, I went down to the hall and I said, hey, what are the sections of the contract that I should study first, because I want to make sure that I take care of our CCAs. And I got like blank stares in return. Like, dude, they're CCAs. Who cares?
Yeah, that's the answer I got from the branch.
Yeah.
They're only CCAs. They're only there to help us out.
Right. And listeners, just so you know, we are in the same branch. We are in, we are in the same branch. We're talking about the same people.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it's a consistent problem, and it's a real shame.
But as you can see, I'm a very outspoken person.
Right.
And so, yeah, I had some problems with the branch.
Yeah, understandable. And of course, as regular listeners to this podcast, you've heard of my own problems that I've had with the branch. And we have elections coming up in our branch this coming October, November. And Michael and I have decided that it is time for positive change in the branch. And so with that in mind, I was planning on it. I've talked about it on this podcast that I was planning on running for steward. Because I can't even get promoted out of alternate steward by the president that we have now. And Mike approached me with the idea of being vice president under Michael's leadership as president, and I accepted. So we have a challenge in front of us. The incumbents get reelected 90% of the time. But we know that we're not the only ones who are dissatisfied with the way our branch has been led. From the lack of leadership, the lack of transparency, the lack of accountability, and just some underhanded things that go on at the branch level. And so we're ready for a change, and this is the first step. This is the first time that we're officially announcing our candidacy. Of course, we'll make it official at the branch meeting, where we'll probably nominate each other for the respective positions. And it's a risk, because you can only run for one position. And so if I don't get elected as vice president, I can't run for steward as a backup. You know, I would have to be appointed steward again. And you guys know how that goes around the country, that if you run and you don't get elected, you're going to get stripped of all of your positions, because that's just the shitty way that the union is run right now. But I'll tell you, last week, I sat in with the CLC, the Concerned Letter Carriers, at a planning meeting. And at some point, I will talk about what the plans are. But I can tell you for now, they recognize those kind of problems and understand how shitty it is. And we went around the room and people told stories about, I tried to do this good thing, spoke truth to power, and got shit on for it. And I'm here to tell you that when Michael and I take office, it ain't going to be that way. If you're in Las Vegas and you're doing a good job right now, we want to keep you doing that good job. There's no retribution. Go on.
There's something that people are forgetting, okay?
Yeah.
Most stewards are rebels.
Okay? Yeah, that's why you become a
steward. We fight management. We fight authority.
Yeah.
Because we want to know that everything is followed to the letter of the rules, okay?
Yeah.
And so we know that these things happen. And it's so hard when people that's at the higher level of the branch that doesn't allow you to succeed.
Yeah,
okay?
That's right.
And doesn't allow you to be a steward. Okay,
yeah.
And that's where the biggest problem is that, you know, we are the rebels. We are voices. We yell. We want to fight. And then you have people that's in the higher levels of the NALC that brings you down, put their foot up down on you to try to hide you and trying to demean you and
absolutely.
Trying to say that you are no good. And that needs to stop.
Right.
Okay? So we need people who's willing to fight.
Right. That's exactly right.
And that's the problem, is that they're trying to get rid of these people that's willing to fight.
That are boat rockers, that are rabble rousers, and that's me. You guys know from listening to this podcast, yes, I am a boat rocker. Mm-hmm. But the things that I'm agitating for are wanting management to follow the entire contract, from wanting our own union to abide by its own rules. And that's what's getting us in trouble. And I know Michael feels the same way that I do, that the union constitution is there for a reason. And the branch bylaws are there for a reason. And it's not our job to just pick and choose what we feel like enforcing. And exactly to your point, Michael, if there is a steward who has this passion project or this issue at his station, and he or she, they're fighting for something that's in the contract, we're going to back them up on that. 100%, and that doesn't happen now.
And so that's why when hopefully if we win, that I really would like to modernize our branch, because our branch looks so beat, like they haven't done anything to upgrade the branch at all. What? I mean, yes, they got new floors. Yes, they got new desks.
But you know, it's funny. But that's not what you need to run an effective branch. You need, like, computers.
Yes.
You need a functioning website. So, for me personally, and I know you do this too, like, I bought my own computer, my own printer, so that I could do, like, fillable PDFs with my grievances. Most of the grievances at the branch...
Just letting you know...
Yeah, go ahead.
We at my station,
yeah,
I actually asked all the carriers to help donate to pay for the printer,
dude,
and so forth. So they helped me buy a nice printer.
Yeah.
So I have a nice laser printer.
I know. I have to get a laser
printer. That actually prints out pages like immediately.
Dude, I'm flying to rain.
Laser printer will last a lot longer.
Right. And it's more cost effective with all the paper we have to print. But, you know, that's in a way that's kind of fucked up. That your fellow workers had to pay for that and chip in for that. I had to pay for my own. That stuff, our branch has $1.4 million sitting in the bank. That's the kind of stuff we could be doing, because you see the grievances that sometimes get handed out at steward meetings, and half of them, like, you could barely read what's written on them because they're all done by hand. It's all this antiquated stuff, and there's so much room for improvement. And it would start with just getting, like, cheap laptops. It's not like you need this high-end gaming laptop in order to file grievances. You've got to be able to fill out PDFs and write documents.
And there's cheap laptops that they can do all of that.
Right. I do all this, including this podcast, on a Chromebook that costs like $200. So I know it's possible. And the same for printers.
Yeah. So the modernizing that I really would like for our branch to have is not just the inside the building. I just want to modernize, like, computers, a network. Yeah. I'm trying to make everything to be easily accessible to any stewards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now, go ahead.
Yeah, because right now the biggest problem is if I get into an argument with any of the branch officers, and I'm going to need some grievance settlements from previous settlements, it's like pulling teeth.
Yes, they're the gatekeepers
to get that information.
Right. They're gatekeepers of it.
And they don't do hardly any training. That's another thing too.
100%.
And so we have a lot of problems where a lot of the stewards are not getting any support. They only support their friends that are stewards, okay?
Okay.
But not the whole city.
That explains it.
so you got to get the whole city involved, okay? And that is the reason why management is the way they are, because they're like, well, if the branch is weak, we're going to do whatever the hell we want.
Right.
You know? And that can't be something that needs to be changed. That I need them to... For the our postmaster to look at our unit and go, man, I don't want to do anything wrong because we know this is going to make us look bad.
Right. We're going to be aggressive.
We need a aggressive, strong branch that'll actually fight back. Anything. Just like weather in Las Vegas. It was 120 degrees one day. Okay. They changed the starting times to later times so that people have to be out in the heat longer. They did it on that week, on the hottest day of the week.
And what was the response to that from the branch executives?
Nothing.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. Not even a statement saying drink a lot of water, hydrate, nothing. Got zero.
Right. Okay. It was like, well, management has the right to change start times once a year. That's the answer.
Yeah, that's the answer we got. But here's the thing. It's not just about changing starting time. It's about safety of our workers.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Our union is supposed to be about mainly the two things, wage
right.
and safety.
Right, working okay? conditions.
Which yeah. I believe our wage is not being done great by our national. I think they really need to work
yeah.
on that.
Okay? Of course, yeah. And but that's not something we can fix
local level. But our branch that we're in, in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. is a big branch.
Yep.
We have a big voice that our officers do not use.
Yeah, right. Okay? Why are they not prominent on the national level mm-hmm. like some of these other branches are?
Right.
We're one of the bigger branches.
Yes. And they're not using their voice. Okay?
Right.
We're a union. We're supposed right. to use our voice.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be united and using our voice to get things done. And that's where it's lacking. Okay. And right. And that's why I think we need change.
Yeah. So on that note, there's so much wasted opportunity that, you know, like you were just talking about with the branch officers, essentially serve as gatekeepers of information. And if I want to know, hey, is there already a settlement on this? There's no way for me to find that out. I have to call the branch officers and then they have to go and look it up and get back to me. And that's a huge waste of time. They could be spending that time doing more productive things. And they don't, right? They waste that time answering phone calls, checking stuff out. Go ahead.
Even then, they don't even answer the phone sometimes.
I've had that happen. Okay? I leave a message and they don't call back.
And you can never leave a message because they'll never call you back.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not. Yeah. It's like they never listen to any messages.
Right.
Okay? So you have to keep calling.
Right.
Okay? And that's the main issue. We need to make it easier for stewards to be able to access previous grievance settlements, so
right.
they can look at it. Because here's the thing: when you look at the previous settlements,
yeah,
you get an idea of how to do that grievance.
That's exactly right. So instead, I get criticism. You know, mm-hmm. like I did my first quarterly overtime grievance, mm-hmm. and I read the contract, and it says management should get a chance next quarter to make it up. So that's what I settled for. I had these people
who were
I didn't know. I read the contract, right?
Yeah.
So then
you cannot. Well, allow them to wait till next quarter.
So I send it up and, you know, hey, I got this settlement. And then I get a call back from the hall. Well, there was already settlements in place where they paid it forward and they're not doing that anymore. You got to get that money. How the hell am I supposed to know that?
Right.
You know, this stuff is not accessible.
Right. Those are the things that the hall is lacking on training. Okay.
Yeah.
I believe we're having one steward training a month. Which is for like an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
It's just our regular steward meeting.
Yeah,
yeah, it's an hour and a half once a month.
Steward meeting for all stewards that has 3 months of training to 10 years of training. Okay?
Right.
So you can't really give out, you know, the big core of training to somebody that's already been doing it for 10 years.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
So there's gonna be should be another time for the new stewards to be trained on.
Dude.
And that's where then they need to schedule a different.
So like 15 years ago, mm-hmm. when I was still pretty new to the post office, I stepped up at Paradise Valley Station to be an alternate steward. And I had no idea what I was doing. I'd never seen the contract before. You know, I'm like, well, this seems interesting to me. I'll try to help out. And the amount of training that I got was zero. There was no training whatsoever. And I had no idea what I was doing. Like, I went into my first investigative interview, and I didn't know what I was supposed to say or what I was supposed to do. And I kept thinking, like, well, if I do this for a little while, like, surely, because I came in midterm, surely, like, at the next election, there's going to be this starter class for all the new stewards who come in. And no, that never happened. And now, 15 years later, when I step in again to be an alternate steward, once again, absolutely no training. I'm told, go read the contract and file grievances based on that. And so, you know, listener, you know what I did. I read the whole fucking contract. And I start filing grievances like, oh, management's not doing this. Let me file a grievance on that. And then I get, no, don't file those kind of grievances. You need to be doing this. And like, we're thrown to the wolves. We're thrown into the deep end.
So how long did it take for you to read all of that?
It took months.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, you got all these grievances that's happening,
right.
and you're still trying to read it. Okay?
Yeah. Then I don't know how to.
So you don't get
properly.
Any guidance on how to get things done.
Yeah. And then I go to the steward meetings, and they're talking about this stuff that like I don't even have a frame of reference. You know, I remember going to the first couple steward meetings. I didn't even know what an 8190 was. By the way, for the casual listener, that's the standard form that we use to fill out our grievances. And so they'd be talking about like, oh, in the 8190, you need to put this as the mission statement or the issue statement. And I don't even know what it is.
And you don't even know how to fill out an issue statement.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay. Dude, the first few times I filled out the 8190, I totally put like stuff where it doesn't belong and locked this into issue statements.
For me, I did luck out because at the station that I was at, they wanted me to be a steward, which was an alternate steward.
Yep.
And I had the stewards actually training me. Now, unfortunately, I was being trained by somebody that's now a manager. Okay. So,
and then in the meantime, they forgot everything about the contract that they
of course, you know. but at least he trained me on how to fill out the 8190,
right?
How to write contentions and so forth.
That's
the
cool.
Basic stuff, okay?
Yeah.
Not the actual how to fight with management,
right?
Settling and trying to settle on grievances,
yeah.
Okay, then I was stationed afterwards. I ended up being at Crossroads, at where I'm at now, and John Power used to be the our branch president, and
okay.
He was a steward at where I'm at. I'm at, okay.
And
he was ready to retire, and so he didn't really train me that much well either.
Okay.
But at least if I had a question how to do it,
right.
He was there to answer the question.
Right.
Okay. But unfortunately, he retired within a few months after I became a steward.
Right.
And I can only learn just a little bit, and then
right.
The hall did not want to teach me anything.
Yeah, that's it. And so one of the things that Michael and I are going to change is that there's going to be comprehensive training for stewards. And we have a problem right now where we can't keep alternate stewards. And we have at least one station, I think Spring Valley, doesn't even have stewards at all right now because the environment is not nurturing. Right? When I stepped up that first time to become a steward, and then I realized like, oh, I'm completely on my own and I ain't going to get any support, I quit.
So previously, two general meetings ago,
mm-hmm.
they actually said that we need alternate steward.
Yep, that's
okay?
Right.
And then we find out that he fired a couple of alternate stewards,
yep.
And one wrongfully. So it's like, wait, you just said that we need stewards, yet you're firing them.
Right.
Yep. Which he's doing it wrongfully. And so when people look at it and go, well, why would I want to be an alternate steward
why
then?
Why would I want to do it? That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's the biggest problem is that I think what people get into being in the branch, sometimes the power gets into their head. And then what they don't realize that we all work for the carriers.
You're damn right.
Okay?
The carriers are the boss. We're the servants to the carriers.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
And they have forgotten it.
Okay? I agree completely.
And Mike Lindemann, who used to be the vice president of our branch, who's retired now. And in that meeting, when he goes, I can't believe that he used the word insubordinate.
So okay. What Michael's talking about is when at our previous branch general meeting, an alternate steward had been removed by our union president, and the charge was insubordination. All right, so go ahead, continue.
Yeah. There's no insubordination. This is a volunteer job.
Right.
We are volunteering to do stuff. For
yeah.
the carriers.
Right.
Okay. And you don't fire somebody for doing a volunteer job. Okay. But here's the thing.
Well,
as the branch president,
yeah.
You're not our manager. You are our guy. You're
right.
Our leader.
Right.
You're
leader.
Supposed to be able to, if somebody's not doing their doing it correctly, you're supposed to be able to be a leader and a trainer and properly train the person correctly.
That's exactly
if that right. person doesn't get trained properly, then you're failing as a leader.
Dude, so on that note, there are these very minimal outreach that our branch does. You know, they do the meeting once a week and they reach like 60 people come to the general membership meeting. And then at the steward meeting, you get like 20 people come to that. And that's 1 hour, an hour and a half once a month. And then we send out the branch newsletter that it goes to everybody, but who actually takes the time to read it? You know, and one of the things that's really important to me is to reach our brothers and sisters where they are. And not everybody can come to the branch meetings. And right now the attitude is, well, if you don't come to the meeting, then tough shit. That's why you don't know anything. But that's not fair. Not everybody has the same opportunity. People got obligations at home. People can't spend the gas to go all the way across town. The CCAs who really need the instruction, they don't even get off work until the meeting's already started. How are they supposed to go? And so one of the things that we want to do is to democratize that, to give that information to everybody in the branch by doing things like putting meetings on Zoom so that everybody can go, putting podcasts out like this where we can spread the information that needs to be spread and make sure that everybody in the branch has a chance to be informed.
So be modernizing our branch, yeah. I believe, because right now, if we go to our 2502 branch, website, it is, you click on, it shows the president's name, the executive VP, vice president, yeah, and so forth. It lists the whole names. Then you click on one of the sites, then it lists the names of the previous president, yeah, right, and so forth. And then you go click on another site, it lists another set from like 15 yeah years ago.
Yeah, half the pages still show Glenn Norton as the president.
And nothing is updated. Okay. Yeah. You can't even get a bylaws out of there.
Yeah, you click the link that says bylaws, the link's broken.
Link's broken. Yeah. Okay. So there's nothing on there that's consistent, and it's just our website is trash.
Yeah. Okay.
That needs to be updated. And I really would like it where we can try to modernize it, where I like to have maybe the stewards have access to online. Mm-hmm. So that way we have all the grievances settlements that's uploaded. That way they can actually see previous grievance settlements.
Right. There are plenty of branches.
At least to bring up where they can see the grievance numbers.
Yeah, are plenty of branches that do that now. Like Branch 38, they have all these grievance starters.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's something that drives me nuts, is there's all this duplication of effort. Like, we file like the same five grievances all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we got to rebuild the case from scratch because it's all done by hand. And it's ridiculous.
Right.
You know, there needs to be just a fillable PDF and you put that information in and it's the same information as last time, the same information request, the things that we find are working for us. It's a huge waste of time to redo that every time we file a grievance.
Yeah. So the biggest problem with our branch right now is that we file a grievance, then management has breaking the rule again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so that means they are not in
compliance.
In compliance.
Yep.
So we're filing non-compliance grievance, Article 15. Okay. Then we get out to the hall because here's the problem. Management knows that settling with Stewart is worse than settling with the branch, because branch will settle easier for them.
Right. They're going to give them a more favorable settlement.
More favorable settlement. Yeah. So we get a non-compliant settlement where, because they kept breaking the rules, mm-hmm, we ask for monetary or some kind, right, or even a cease and desist.
Yeah.
And the branch will come back and say, oh, by the way, management just need to follow the rules and give them a slap on the wrist every time.
Right.
And that is getting so annoying. And then the carriers are saying, why isn't union doing anything?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And this is what will eventually dovetail in with the CLC, Concerned Letter Carriers, because they plan on having those same fights where we're not just going to roll over and let management, like at my station, half the time the supervisor won't even meet on the grievance. They'll just say, no, I'm not interested in that. Go ahead and send it up. And I floated the idea at steward meetings, why don't I follow that up with an Article 15 grievance, because they're not meeting in good faith. And folks down at the hall right now, not interested.
So another big problem of grievance is settling at the lowest level.
Right, exactly.
The supervisors don't want to settle on any grievances. They're just saying, hey, just give it, the station manager wants to do it. And the problem is this. The reason that the union wants to settle at the lowest level is because you want to put the grievance to the supervisor that it's at the lowest level, no, to get them to learn the rules.
Yeah, because they're the ones who are breaking the rules.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why you want to settle at the lowest level, because they need to learn the rules. But so if you don't settle with them, how are they ever going to know what the rule is?
Dude. So just today, I settled a grievance at Informal A, and it was about, we had some motor vehicle accidents. And so I'm doing my investigation, and I see Article 41.P.3 or whatever it is, 41.3P, that says that they're supposed to call the union president every time there's a motor vehicle accident. So I call down to the hall. Hey, did they let you know that there was an accident? And he says, no, they didn't. So I file a separate grievance on that. And when I went to the supervisor today, she'd never even heard of that provision. She goes, I've never called the hall to let them know that there was an accident, because the people at the hall don't give a shit.
Right.
And that is a failure of due process. The whole reason that they're supposed to be called is so that the union can go out and do their own investigation right where the accident happened, and we're just not bothering? What is that?
Yeah. And that, I mean, I can talk to you over and over and over and over about all these things that we need to work on. And, but the thing is that we got the same people in our branch and doing the same thing over and over and over, and they're not being progressive, okay? They're just being reactive. They're not trying to stop anything. And everything is, let them violate the rules, and we'll file it later, okay?
Yeah.
And they're missing the point, and we have to prevent it from them doing it again.
Right.
Okay? Because it's all about the safety of the carriers. It's about the working environment. But if you let management break the rules before you file a grievance, what good is the union? Okay, not there just to file grievances. We're there to stop management from abusing carriers, abusing employees. We're there to make sure they get the right wage. I mean, there's so many things about what the union is for, and it seems like people are failing at
that. And to your point earlier, part of filing the grievance is educating management. And right now, we're not doing that. We're letting management...
That's another issue, too, is that they're supposed to know the rules anyway.
They are supposed to know the rules.
But because our union has allowed all these newbies, the CCAs, to become managers, or CCAs that being 204Bs, and our union is not doing anything, even though I tried to file that grievance, and I was told, that's not a grievance, you have to withdraw it. I remember when I first started being a steward, our branch offices at that point said, file everything, see what sticks.
Yeah, right, right.
Okay? And now, don't file it if it's not in the rules. Even if you think it's right, don't file it.
Right.
But come on. What's going on here?
Yeah. I know that.
And that's where our unions, I think, is becoming weak. And we need to be strong. And I believe that that's what I want to do as the union president. And I really would like Alan to being there now that he's a podcast and get information out to the people.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's very important for the people of Las Vegas, because I've talked to a lot of carriers. They say they're not getting any information from any of the branch officers. And they go, well, you got to make the meeting. Well, a lot of them cannot make the meeting.
That's exactly right.
They're not getting any information out to them. And a lot of them don't even know the rules. So a lot of them think that, you know, whatever management says, we got to follow, because that's what the union says. Because, you know, you have to follow the instruction no matter what it is.
Right.
And then file a grievance later.
Yeah. Okay. And then they don't even know that there's a grievance on the back end.
Yeah. There's a grievance that's already been filed that we've already done this before.
Right.
And so there's a lot of things to do. So Ellen is going to be, we're looking at him to be vice president. Mm-hmm. I have Jonathan, who's also from my station and running as the executive VP. He has been godsend in the fact that he learns so fast. And he is a fighter also.
That's awesome.
He's another rebel.
We'll have to have him on the podcast.
He's another rebel.
That's awesome.
We're all rebels.
Yeah.
All stewards are rebels.
You have to be to try to take on the entrenched power structure.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have right now has been entrenched for 18 years, something like that, down at our hall. And it's time. It's time for something better. So guys, here it is. Michael and I announcing our candidacy. Spread this around. Share it with your friends. You're going to hear more from us as time goes on, as we get closer to the elections. And then here's the key, guys. It's not going to stop. Once we get elected, you're going to keep hearing from us. We're going to keep reaching out to carriers. We're going to keep informing you, keep educating you, keep empowering you in ways that aren't happening now. That's our goal. That's our mission going forward. And we'll get the last word from Michael.
So if anybody has any questions, I have no problem. I'll give you my cell number. It's 702-724-6355. So if anybody has a question, call me. Anybody has a problem, call me. Anybody who wants to talk to me and see what I want to do, call me. I have no problem answering.
Okay? Awesome.
Now, if it's a phone number that's area coded that I don't recognize, you might have to text me first, but otherwise I will be answering most of the local phone numbers. But if it's from a long distance number, please at least text saying, hey, I need to ask you questions or whatever, and I will answer. Okay.
That's awesome.
So hopefully I'll be able to give you some more information as
Oh, yeah.
Ellen will.
Yeah, for sure.
Hopefully for sure. We can get Jonathan involved, too.
Yep, absolutely. So, guys, that's it. That's our first episode of our candidacy. And thank you for listening. Again, share this around. Let people know. And we will catch you next time.